You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is "The Script Has Been Flipped" by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, 2 chapter, starting in verse 6. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, "How be it, we speak the wisdom of God." Excuse me, "we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That word "perfect" there means mature. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught or come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Then he says about this wisdom, "which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they," those princes of this world, "knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so we see he speaks of these princes in verse 6, the princes of this world. He refers to them again as the princes of this world in verse 8. He said, "had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so you need to understand, in order for you to get the full essence of this message, that Paul's writing, he's saying the princes of this world, those princes refer to Satan and his demons, the kingdom of darkness. Jesus called it, the scripture called the principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities is talking about demonic territorial spirits. Now, we know that's true because even in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying. He needed an answer from God. He needed some revelation. And by the time the angel finally comes to give him his answer, he tells him, he said, "from the day that you set your heart to pray, I've been on my way. But the prince of Persia withstood me." He was talking about demonic, what we call spiritual warfare. The prince of Persia, which meant a demon prince or authority over this region, tried to keep me from coming to you. He said, "but God then sent Michael, the warrior angel, to help me fight against that spirit, that demon, so I can get to you." Now, every time I hear about that, that encourages me to know that I'm that important to God, that when God wants to get something to me, if he got to call in reinforcements to make it happen, he'll do it. Principalities. And so Jesus once says this, when they said that he was casting out demons, somebody said, "well, the reason why you are casting out demons, because you are a demon. You casting out devils by the devil." And Jesus said, "now that doesn't make any sense." He said, "because a kingdom divided against itself can't stand." So even the demonic region is called a kingdom. Sometimes you hear me preach and you saw that preacher who y'all pray he show up at the men's conference, that preacher that who was up there saw a little while ago, that he, that preacher who was on the video, did y'all see him there, who gonna be at the men's conference? Oh Lord, just that crowd again. That preacher said, he said, "Satan, we're gonna tear your kingdom down." So there is a demonic kingdom, and which is trying to fight against the heavenly kingdom. And so this scripture says that none of those demonic spirits knew God's plan regarding Jesus' death and resurrection. He said, because had they known it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, this ain't working out right. This is not turning out the way we should. In other words, which is the subject of today's message, the script has been flipped. Look at somebody and say, the script has been flipped. Satan has always tried unsuccessfully to be like God. When we get the history of who we now call Satan, who was originally called Lucifer. It's recorded in the Bible in Isaiah 14, which gives us some insight into what happened before the earth was even created and before man existed in human form. Isaiah 14, verse 12, it's a reference to what happened to Satan, who was originally Lucifer. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," look what the devil, look what Lucifer has said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit." Notice Lucifer, the devil, keep talking about I. Can I tell you, anybody who's always talking about I too much is demonic. I am this. I'm going to do this. And don't talk about God. If you try to promote yourself, and sometimes you got to be even careful regarding social media. Everybody promoting themselves, what I am, what I'm doing, what I have. And you need to understand that that can be demonic, where we exalt ourselves so much that we don't put the emphasis on God. Nebuchadnezzar walks out one day, looks at it, look at his kingdom. He said, "Look at this great kingdom that I have built." And God now allowed the man to go crazy. He ended up going into the woods and growing hairs like a bird, and nails like an eagle, because he went crazy by not giving God glory and acknowledging God. And so the devil keeps talking about I, because he wanted to be like God. Despite Satan's attempts to be like God, he's never been successful, because God declares who he is. And he said, "I'm not going to give my glory to another." And so God says in Isaiah 49, verse 9, the New Living Translation said, he says, "Remember the things that I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there's none like me." God says, I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how smart someone is. I don't care how much they dominate in the earth, even if they're Amazon. Even if they're Walmart, even if they're Oprah, God says, "I am God. There's none like me." God says, "Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish." That's what we call the sovereignty of God. God said, "I'm God, and if you don't like it, then lump it. I'm God, and if you don't like it, then you just don't like it. I don't have to explain everything to you. I don't have to justify everything to you. You please me. I don't please you. I am God." So Satan is the epitome of the statement, "You hate me because you ain't me." That's the devil. And that's what God says to the devil. "You hate me because you ain't me." In other words, the devil hates God because he ain't God. There are certain characteristics that we associate with God. Three of the primary ones. Number one, we say that God is omnipotent. I'm the all potent power. God is all powerful. God is omnipotent. And if Satan was all powerful, then we would not be able to take authority over him. If Satan was all powerful, we would not be able to bind him, cast him down, or cast him out. But Satan is not like God, because he is not omnipotent. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10, chapter verse 19? Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So we can boldly say, "You can't touch this. No, 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 no. Can't touch this." Why? Because God's given us power over all the power of the devil, which means he is not omnipotent. Nor would the devil be out seeking whom he may devour. If he says he's seeking whom he may devour, it means he can't devour everybody he wants to devour. He can't destroy everybody he wants. He's looking for somebody who don't know they have power over him, who won't exercise their God-given right to bind him and loose him. And so because you don't know you're powerful through Jesus, then he can dominate over you. So he's looking for somebody whom he may devour, but somebody who knows that they got the power over the devil. Say, I ain't the one, devil. Second characteristic of God that we often search with him is that God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. He's here. Right now. He's omni. He's all here all the time. He's here all the time. He's omnipresent. If Satan was omnipresent, then God would not have asked him in Job, the first chapter in verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord, that when the sons of men, which were angels, came to present themselves before God, the Bible said the devil came also with them. That tells us that when we come to church, the devil also come to church too. Ask your neighbor, is it you? Is it you? Is it you? And so God asked the devil, God asked Satan, Job 1 and 7, and the Lord said to Satan, whence cometh thou? Where you been? Where you coming from? And Satan said unto the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down. Why was he going to and fro throughout the earth? Why was he walking up and down? He was seeking somebody to devour, which means he's not omnipresent. If you're omnipresent, you don't have to walk everywhere. The Bible says God, because he's omnipresent, God, his eyes roam over the whole earth at one time because he's omnipresent. Are y'all with me here? So Satan is not omnipresent. Thirdly, we say that God is omniscient. Omniscient, knowledge, science, omniscient. As a matter of fact, years ago, I was in church and we were in Oklahoma and one of our ministers, she went to pray and she was praying very profoundly. She said, God, we thank you because you're the omnipotent God. Thank you because you are the omnipresent God. And then God, we thank you because you are the omniscience God. I said, the omniscience. She meant he's omniscient. Everybody say omniscient. Omniscient means that he's all-knowing. And there, that aspect of God is what I want to talk about in the moments I have remaining, because the devil is not omniscient. The scripture says if he knew God's mystery plan of salvation, he never would have crucified Jesus. He thought he was doing something to God, not realizing it was a setup. And God was doing something to him. He didn't realize that God said, what you try to do to me is already done to you. God is omniscient. So the text says, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It is this omniscience, this omniscient aspect of God, the all-knowing aspect of God, that caused Satan's crucifixion scheme to be thwarted, to backfire, to work against him. In other words, the crucifixion is the greatest script-flipping incident ever recorded in the history of mankind, the crucifixion of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the story of God flipping the script on the devil. Now, for those of you who don't know what flipping the script means, because I can see a couple of y'all right in this section, about two or three in this section, and about five or six over in that section, don't know what flip the script means. So let me just take a moment to tell you about flipping the script. Okay? If you go to the Urban Dictionary, which I don't suggest you go to, I went to it for you. Don't look in that book. Read this one. But I went to it for you, and I got a paraphrase. I can't even give you the example that's used in the Urban Dictionary. But to paraphrase, Urban Dictionary tells us, flip the script means to do the unexpected and unanticipated. To deviate from the norm and to catch one off guard. So the crucifixion and the resurrection was the unexpected, the unanticipated from Satan's standpoint. And it deviated from what usually happens when you crucify people. When you crucify people, that's it. Now that's done with. We don't have to worry about them no more. We don't hear about them anymore. And all their friends get scared and go away. And exactly the opposite happened through the crucifixion. The definition of flip the script means to gain control in a situation that is being dominated by another person so that you are now in charge. Flip the script. So let's look at this. I was in between services. I was wondering why my son would call me, you know, it was like 9:45. I'm still in my study. I mean, 10:45, just, you know, as we're starting the service. And my son, he's over in Japan, and he FaceTimed me. I'm like, well, what's your FaceTime? You know, pretty much know I'm in church now. He said, I just want to say Happy Easter. I said, well, Happy Easter. Good. I said, can we go to service? I said, how was the game? He said, cause he watched a little bit of the first service. He said, God flipped the script. I said, what you mean? He said, well, he's been told us about it. It's a little bit frustrating, so he got to do what he got to do. But because he's on a Japanese team and he's an American, they only allow the Americans to play particular quarters, okay? And so he plays the second and the fourth quarter. Today, he only played the fourth quarter. He said, when I got in that fourth quarter, we were down 16. I said, did you win? He said, I told you God flipped the script. I said, how many points did you score? He said, 14. I said, you scored 14 points in the fourth quarter? That boy did it just like I taught him. That's my boy. I don't care how far down you are, how far behind you are, how late you started in life, how much the devil seems like he's dominating in your life right now. If God did it for Jesus, he can do it for you. It may be the fourth quarter, but God can flip the script. I'm declaring today that the script will be flipped. In Jesus' name. Just look at this. The devil used the scribes and the Pharisees to conspire to have Jesus put to death. In Matthew 26:59, it says that the chief priests and the elders and all the council, they sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. And but Bible said many came. Many folks came with all kind of false testimonies. But some people hyperbolized too much. If you don't know what hyperbole is, that means an exaggerated lie. Some people hyperbolize too much. Even your lies sound like a lie. You know, when you lie, you need to try to sound like you're telling the truth. But some people, they just lie so much, you can tell, you know, I'm telling you, man, I did that thing, yeah. You know, it was 100 people there. No, it was 2. And so they couldn't use all the testimony, but they found 2. And one of them said, well, Jesus said that he would, if he tears this temple, you tear the temple down, he'll build it up. In 3 days. Somebody else said, he said that he's the king of the Jews. And that all that was against Caesar because there's supposed to be no king other than a Roman king. Roman Emperor Caesar. And so for that reason, they had him charged with treason against Caesar. So they were successful in having Jesus prosecuted, sentenced to death by crucifixion, which by historical standards is the most inhumane way to kill anybody. If you chop somebody's head off, it's more merciful than crucifixion. If you put them before a firing squad, it's more merciful than crucifixion. If you give them a lethal injection, it's more merciful than crucifixion. If you put them in an electric chair, it's more merciful than crucifixion. Crucifixion is the most inhumane, torturous way that man has ever devised in his mind to kill someone. As a means of capital punishment. You'll be on that cross. And in this era of the world. Before the hot sun. Bake itching for hours while you're bleeding. Slowly bleeding. Nails through your hands, most likely more through your wrists. Nails through your feet. Some people, because of strength, would even be slower in dying. So they would even inflict more pain on them to make them die quicker. Thus, the piercing of the spear through his side. Thus, they came to break his legs. But God said, he's going to need these legs. He can't touch this. Dun, 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 dun. And when they came to break his legs, he was already dead. Most inhumane way for someone to die. But after his physical death, Jesus went into hell. So in between crucifixion day and Sunday morning, Jesus goes into hell or Hades, the holding place of the spirits, and looks over and he says to the devil, I'm the captain now. You're not rolling anything in here anymore. I'm the captain now. Would you look somebody and say, Jesus the captain now. He said, you ain't running this peace no more. You ain't running this ship no more. I'm going to take anybody I want to take out of here with me. He's the captain of our soul. Can I tell you, that wasn't the script. I preached about it a few years ago, and it was considered not to be one of the inspired books, but it's considered one of the lost books. And there's things in there that details that are not in our scriptures, but the details seem to support the general headlines that we have in the scriptures here. In the book of there was a book called Nicodemus, and it's recorded how Jesus he led people out of hell, and many opened their graves. Let me read that. Read that for you in Matthew 27, verse 52. Many people came up out of their graves when Jesus died. And they walked around telling people what was happening. In other words, it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. In other words, Jesus created the original thriller. Were open. Bodies of the saints which slept rose out of the grave after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And Jesus was saying, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? I am the captain over death now. Glory to God.
To flip the script on someone is to do the unexpected or the unanticipated, which would potentially catch someone off guard. The devil thought he had Jesus on the cross, but God flipped the script through his son's crucifixion. Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages you that God can flip the script in your life. Order this CD-DVD combination today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Double for Your Trouble and get the bonus message, The Script Has Been Flipped. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. in Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.